The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 170. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Zoro Magnaros!
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What is up?
Brett Murdoch.
Antoneth, you're a bitch and your mom's a bitch.
And Adam Vale.
Get ready for 8 hours of Throwdown.
You know, starting right now, marathon.
There we go.
Man, dudes are already in the chat. What's going on, JW? These dudes jumped in mad quick. Shit.
They're like, yo, man, we got that bell clicked.
Yeah, a quick apology for the backwards image. Again, Google is not changing my perspective right now. I was like, Tony, why do you look differently? You look slightly off because you're looking at me mirrored and shit. It's crazy, man. You know?
Yo, man, you're the mirrored version of yourself.
Yeah. And of course, me being the consummate host that I am, I don't even have my show notes, you know? So, we were talking about Monster Hunter and shit, and Brett was talking about how he hasn't progressed because kind of the same reason I haven't progressed so much, helping the buddies out, man. So, Brett, how's that going for you? How many times have you faced Anjanath already?
not for me or including me?
Not for you, for your buddies.
Oh, shit. 10, 12
damn.
For me?
And you can't really do anything with those parts, right? After you've already kind of reached.
I saw that shit, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I can. Like, for the most part, I kind of take the same approach that Riku does. Like, if I ever have to go back and upgrade something, I have so many base monster parts that I never really have to farm when I go back. And if I do, it's just for, like, one thing. Like, there were a couple monsters that I didn't farm a whole lot, like Gyrotaurus. So I have a couple fins of his I need. You make so many things off the Pookie Pookie tree that I think I could need a couple of his things. But yeah, for the most part, I'm just swimming in monster parts. And I'm just going back to the thrill of the hunt to help buddies. Anjanath is the first wall a lot of people hit.
Yes. So
I think that's when most people are like, oh my god, I need help. And part of me wants to be like, hey man, you need to get good enough to beat Anjanath all by yourself. But at the same time, they need help. So I find myself jumping in and, you know, playing, you know, Mr. Miyagi, be like, you don't fight the dinosaur, you just avoid the dinosaur. Don't bother attacking, just roll away. In a perfect world, a perfect warrior takes no damage. And so I'm actually like tutoring people. So we'll go through an Anjanath run. I'll be like, all right, for 45 seconds, I want you to just not get hit. And then once you feel comfortable not getting hit by Anjanath, then you can start to decide when you want to lay a blow in or when you want to lay another blow in. And then you need to start worrying about, you can't just combo. You need to decide, don't get greedy. It's the Dark Souls mantra. Don't get greedy. So you go in there, you land a couple of hits, you dodge out. And this is all completely aside of knowing any monster's animation. So you can take these same principles of dodging and apply them to most battles that you're going to fight through the game. So I'm making sure not to just, you know, win for my buddies. I'm making sure to actually progress them past the wall, which is,
if you teach a man to fish.
Yes, if you teach a man to hunt.
Yeah, I guess I'm being a bad teacher. I just go in there and fuck these things up for them.
Like, yeah, man, you're going down.
Then they just call you for the next boss. They're like, man, I'm still having trouble. This motherfucker. And they're down in the controller. I play with some angry gamers.
Yeah, that shit is funny, man. Anyway, let's move on here. So we got a couple of things to talk about. Nothing really big happened this week, but a couple of interesting things. Also, actually, at the end of the episode, we're going to do something a little different. So I hope you guys stick around for that, per Manny's suggestion.
Live human sacrifice.
Yes, it's going to happen. We're going to get 16 million subscribers, just like, what's his face, right? The guy with the suicide forest.
Oh, Logan Paul, man.
Damn it. All right, so first topic, and I wish he was here for this, man. Brian, this is a favorite bit of news. So now it is official. GTA 5 has sold 90 million copies worldwide. This is a beast, you know?
They're like, we don't need to make another game.
I want you guys to understand, this thing has sold more copies than there are next-gen systems, you know, particularly, like, you know, like, PlayStation's close, but, yeah, that's insane to me, man. That is crazy. And, Brett, I think you're right about it. It's like, every day, a new 16, you know, somebody turns 16 for the first time. What do they want? They want GTA. You know?
Get that.
One of their buddies are playing.
You know, but what do you, I mean, we know the answer to this, but we just got to make talk. What do you attribute to the game's longevity? Adam, going to you. I already know the answer, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, GTA Online, all those free modes. All those, that crazy, wacky races. We're in the future when jumping through the hoops and stuff. I mean, that's awesome. People just have fun playing all of that stuff, and it's free. It's all in there. So you buy this one game, and you get all these other games inside. You know, so I think that's the reason.
At this point, I don't even think it's... I think it is completely apart from the game. I mean, we could be talking about Farming Simulator at this point. Once you reach a certain point of critical saturation where all your friends have the game, you're going to buy the game, even if there's only 10% of it you like.
I don't have the game.
think about it like this, though. Think about it like this, right? Manny doesn't have the game, but every other one of us here has at least 3 copies of the shit. Think about that, you know? So that's why.
So as soon as you get a PlayStation, I mean, here's the deal. If you get a next-gen console, you're going to have kind of a little checklist in your head. And that checklist is going to include console, accessories, clearly next-gen game, you know, the hot game or something that's new, something that you wanted, something that drove you towards the system to begin with, and a fallback game. That game is going to be the game that all your friends are playing. Same thing kind of happens with, you know, FIFA or Call of Duty. It's okay, I'm going to get a game that I want to play, and then I'm going to get the game that all my other friends are playing. So maybe I'm really excited for Wolfenstein, but I'm going to pick up a copy of Call of Duty or pick up a copy of GTA when I go ahead and buy my system. Most people don't buy a system and buy one game. Most people don't buy a system and buy 3 games. Most people buy a system and buy 2 games. And Grand Theft Auto's success is the fact that it is always that second game. That first game can change. That was it. It sounded like there was more.
Yeah, it sounded like you just stopped abruptly as shit, somebody. You know?
I was going to keep finishing, then I decided I wanted to buy a cheeseburger, so I quit.
All right, fair enough. Now, here's my question, you guys, because this is one part I'm confused by. Because GTA 4, right, that had online, and superficially, it's not that much different than GTA 5. So is GTA 5's online just like more successful because of the fact that it has more stuff to do in the world? Because, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe what is the fundamental difference between them? Because I don't really see a difference between them. I played the shit out of GTA 4, played the shit out of GTA 5. I'm like, they're not that different from each other. So what is it, Brett? What's the difference?
They're very different, dude. GTA 4 had, basically you had to get to a certain point and then you could spawn a friend into your world so that you could run around and do, or it spawned like a mirror world so that you and a friend could run around and basically have basic destruction. It wasn't an open lobby. You had to carefully plan who you're going to play with, and you had to know them, and you had to send them an invite. Red Dead was the first one that actually had an open online lobby. And I can't tell you why that one didn't key off. I played the shit out of Red Dead Online. I never saw a full lobby. The most I would see would be, the only times I saw full lobbies when somebody would come in and bring like a group of 7 or 8 people with them. So you could tell they're, and you could always tell back then because there was just voice chat across the lobby. So you could tell when there was a group of people all playing together. Tony, I don't think this has been a thing. And even then, in Red Dead, there wasn't a whole lot to do in the open world. It was very much a bare bones lobby that you went to build mini games from. And the problem was that one person could get to that place, start the mini game, and everybody else could just kind of jump in. So it really deterred the idea of a player needing to move across the lobby, the same way Monster Hunter really deters a player needing to go into the canteen. Like, it's just superfluous. It doesn't fit in the flow of the game. So a lot of people didn't use it. So I think Grand Theft Auto finally took all of these ideas that seemed really old because we've been asking for them for a decade, but you know, I think that was the first time they actually put all of those things together. It's kind of the same deal with the iPhone. Like, none of these things were new, but putting them all together in one place was new. It wasn't a revolutionary idea, it just was new.
Well, not only was it like the natural step to for the progression of the online, but also, I mean, we had the advancement of streaming and influencers on YouTube and Twitch and stuff. Like, and for GTA 4, there wasn't, I don't know who was the popular streaming people, but there weren't as many as there are now. And those people keep the game alive more than anyone, especially what now 5 years since it launched.
Five, six, something like that. But you're right about that. Cause when GTA 4 came out, streaming was not really a thing. You know, I could be wrong, but it wasn't really a thing.
It wasn't. It was like 2008. And like, I mean, YouTube launched, 2005? So it wasn't that long after YouTube came out.
Yeah. Like, I remember with GTA 4, the biggest thing about that was the PC modding community. They went crazy on that game. You know, that was like the thing that kept GTA 4 going. But you're right, the online, like I said, I played a lot, but it was mostly for trophies. And you're right, Brett, when I would get together, it was always with a group of friends and stuff. We have to coordinate and all that. You know, it wasn't like jump in and there's a million people running around going crazy. It's like, no, it's just you and your buddies in there going crazy, you know? And then the whole customization thing, like you could actually build your, you can make your own movies and shit in GTA 5, kind of like a machinima type of thing. GTA 4 didn't have that, obviously, you know?
Heists,
all that shit. It's a lot. And, you know, and then like we always say, all that shit came free. You have to pay any extra. All that shit came free. They got you with the shark cards, obviously, but all that shit was free. So, yeah, $60 and get all that content. Like, you could theoretically just play GTA 5 and nothing else for, like, years, if you really think about it. You know, they just released some new content this week, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. So, yeah, you know, and I think we talked about this last week where we don't think that that Red Dead Redemption is going to cannibalize GTA 5's audience, because they're, even though they're both Rockstar games, they're very different. And since GTA 5 is also established, people are probably not going to jump on board Red Dead Redemption. They're going to play it, obviously, but they're probably going to migrate right back to GTA 5, you know?
I'm the outlier in that group.
Yeah, I mean, I want to play Red Dead Redemption, obviously, but yeah, who knows? But Brett, you're the one that said that. You said most people will still go back to GTA 5 in the end, you know?
I said there'll be a lot of people that go to GTA 5. I don't think that Rockstar's in a very precarious place. They don't want to look like they're turning their back on their GTA audience, and I think that they will continue to make updates for the GTA audience. I think, however, it would be kind of silly to split their power, to split the steam behind their locomotive. So I think they're really going to focus on, and they haven't even announced it yet, but I really think we will have a Red Dead open world online mode, and that will slowly take the torch from GTA. It's not going to be an issue where they're like, all right, park shutting down, everybody get out. They're just going to build a newer and better park across the street, let the consumers slowly filter from one to the other, and then, 7 years from now or whatever, they'll eventually shut down the GTA servers. But I don't think it's going to be they're shooing people out of GTA. I think they're just going to coax them over to Red Dead. And I think the reason for that is GTA is Rockstar is already seeing a backlash. They have artificially inflated their economy so much that it's kind of having that Dragon Ball Z power creep problem. And so they run into the inevitable issue that all animes that have this power creep problem come back to, which is we need to tone everything down. We need to reset everything. We need to make this world not quite so fucking extreme. They're already kind of jumping the shark with the doomsday scenario and, UFOs and jetpacks. They don't have a lot of place to go, and they don't have a lot of expansion to do. I mean, you can't have every car cost $35 million without the community starting to get a little bit pissed. And they already are. But my point is, you can't do another 4 years of that. I was watching a Dave Chappelle special last night. He brought up the concept of mileage on a hoe. And that's kind of the same thing. If Grand Theft Auto is a hoe and Rockstar is their pimp, Rockstar knows that there's only so many more expansions. There's only so many more content additions, big ones, that they can actually get away with in GTA, and there's only so much that they can push the community to be able to put money on. I mean, shark cards are already becoming.
But then you get a new hoe. That he got that from Iceberg Slim Pimp. Yeah, just
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Red Dead will be the new hoe. Once they've worn out GTA, Red Dead will be the new hoe. And so, I think Rockstar is grooming Red Dead to be the new hoe. They're not just going to abandon GTA, but they're sure as shit going to get a new bottom bitch.
Yeah, that actually does make sense the way you explain it like that, to be honest, you know? But the thing is, like, so my question is, will the Red Dead Redemption hoe last as long as the GTA hoe, you know?
Nobody
that's
knows.
Why gonna keep, that's why they're going to keep GTA on speed dial.
Well you got to understand, there's a big difference between Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto is a hoe, and Red Dead Redemption is a prostitute.
Only I'll throw it out, folks.
Want to go old school.
Man, I love our analogies, man. Thank you, Dave Chappelle.
Demonetization.
But yeah, GTA 5, man. They can't stop. Won't stop. Just to quote another Chappelle thing, you know. Any other thoughts on it? On GTA 5? It's a monster. I guess 100 million is that assured now? Do you think that's going to happen? It sold 17 million last year, bro.
I think it'll definitely happen.
Yeah. It's great for them. I mean, there's no rush to make another one now. You know, it's like you got Red Dead coming out. You got everybody still playing Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm sure they have a team that's working on it. I'm like, all right, well, just take your time, man. Nobody's asking for it because, look, they're all living on this shit that we made 5 years ago. So.
Yeah, it was the best idea that they did by porting it to the next gen consoles.
Yeah. Well, we knew that was going to happen because that came out toward the end of life cycle for 360 and PS3, so we knew that was a gift.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: like, there are a lot of games that came out at the end and they didn't decide to jump over, but then they did, and Tomb Raider did, and you know,
one of the coolest things that they did even after that was like a year or 2 years later when PC they did version? First person when they did the FPS. That was crazy. Right. I remember seeing that and people like, oh, that's not real. Because there's some footage at least, remember? Like,
yeah.
That's not real. Somebody modded it. That's not real. Because it looks so cool. You see him walk in the street, shoot. He gets in the car. You see everything on the dashboard. The music changing. I'm like, nope, that's not happening.
Because they also redid all the interiors of the cars.
Oh, that was
as
so
opposed
cool.
to like just using the kind of low-res stuff that they already had. They literally just redid everything inside, so it just looks really nice.
Oh, man. I played so many hours in first person.
Did you get the trophy?
I love YouTube, by the way.
It was a trophy. Played 15 hours in first person. Or 30 hours.
Yeah, by the way, I just made that comment because we mysteriously lost 4 subscribers. All right.
It happens.
Some bullshit.
Was it the bottom bitch comment?
Yeah, maybe it was, right? They didn't like that.
You know? Could have been. It's like, hey, you're talking about my livelihood, man.
Like I said, demonetization. I jinxed us all.
Yeah, well, we ain't demonetized yet, you know. Anyway, let's move on, man. Speaking about Red Dead, interesting rumor came out this week, and this is a rumor not substantiated, but it's probably true. Because GTA 5 did it already, so Red Dead's probably going to do it too. Red Dead's going to have a battle royale mode like PUBG.
Of course, it is.
There you go.
That's the new hotness. Every game with an online mode, a competitive online mode, is going to have some sort of battle royale mode. That's it. It's in there. Which is hilarious because why didn't they put a battle royale in games back in the day? Because battle royale, you know, that's a movie and an anime and a comic.
Yeah, like why did it take this long for somebody to mimic that in a video game?
They've done it. Call of Duty did it. It was like one shot, one bullet or something like that. And it was a mode where you just had one bullet in your gun and you were roaming around.
No, this is battle royale is a little bit different than that. It's not just having a one bullet, one gun.
I feel like it's sort of the same thing. You only have one life.
No, obviously is one life, but it also the battle royale in the way, at least the way the film and the comic worked, was that they all had different weapons, and it didn't matter. Like one person just found a gun, somebody just found a friggin' like a glass bottle, like that, and then they would slowly but surely move them in
I think that'll be the evolution of that whole mode, is making a story that's more like the movie, you know, with the story, you know, going with it, getting dumped on an island, scavenging for, you know, equipment and trying to survive. And I think that's the evolution of this. So whoever jumps in on that would take it to the next level, because you see Fortnite's taking it to the next level because you're building stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mental note, I want to talk about Fortnite in a bit. So my question is, how would a battle royale mode work within the confines of the world of Red Dead Redemption with cowboys and all that? How would that work?
Finding guns.
That's it. You go ghost towns and stuff and mineshafts like they did before. Mm-hmm. You know, you could definitely do that. Go out into the desert somewhere out in Nevada or something, you know, and people living in caves and things like that. They could easily do it.
Yeah, like the Indians and shit.
I got it for you, Tony.
Go ahead, man.
It's a game mode. You and your friends in Red Dead Redemption find yourself in a small village with a sandstorm closing in. The only problem is there's other squads and gangs in the area, and as the sandstorm presses in, you're all pushed to the eye of the storm in an abandoned town till there's only one man standing.
Bam.
There you right go. There you go. That's how you're going to do it. I think he answered that question. And then my other question to you guys is...
And he did it in a voice, too.
Yeah. And Red Dead Redemption.
In a town.
In Red Dead Redemption, you'll find yourself in a town where you're constantly bombarded. Yeah, that could work. I forgot my question. Oh, well. It's fucking... Yep, totally lost it.
I regret nothing.
Yeah,
I lost it. Was it the Fortnite mental note?
No, it wasn't about Fortnite. It was about... I lost it. Oh, well. Anyway, what do you guys think about... because you know how... whatchamacallit, the people who made PUBG, they were trying to, like, sue Fortnite. I'm like, do you think they no longer could do such a thing? Because it's like, okay, this is now just a mode in games, bro.
It's nothing they created. They just adapted it.
They can't take credit for that.
By the way, I find it funny that they tried to sue Fortnite developers, but Rockstar didn't try to go after.
It's because of the coding. It was Epic that helped them with the whole thing, and then all of a sudden went and started making another one. You know, doing that mode for their other game, and they're like, "Wait a minute, why? You knew this is what we were making. What's going on?" So there was more of that. That was the issue.
But they didn't win it. The thing is that. That idea has already been taken from something else. So they didn't officially create the idea, unfortunately. And if they were so married to that sort of idea, that specific sort of thing, I'm sure that they would have, if it was something that they could sue for, they would have already copywritten that friggin' game mode so that nobody could do it but them. But they couldn't. So they had no grounds to sue anybody.
That's like those idiots that try to copyright React. Remember that shit?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's like the guys who wanted to copyright the word React.
The React videos,
Yeah, the funny thing is nobody can actually take credit for this genre because the guy who actually kind of invented the genre doesn't make video games. Never did. He failed at DayZ and left the industry. So that's actually kind of a good thing though, because nobody has hands on it. Then it was a half baked idea that he put forward, couldn't accomplish it himself, and then the community ran with. So it's almost community grown. You know, it kind of has a weird grassroots thing to it. So nobody can actually sit back and point at that and then go, "I did this," because none of them did. It was, you know, baby steps. Everybody added a little something, but. Unlike other kinds of games, there's no definitive point where you can go back and be like, this guy did this. Because even DayZ was a mod off of Arma. It's not like he made Arma. He just found a different way to use that game and put in kind of a more survival having to search aspect. And then Ark, H1Z1 copied the shit out of that. Rust copied the shit out of that. Then H1Z1 also copied the shit out of that. And then Ark copied the shit out of Rust. And then Ark added a battle royale mode that PUBG copied. So nobody gets fucking credit.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. So it's like you guys can't go around trying to sue people when you didn't invent that idea. You know, this is just the game mode now, you know?
Nobody invented that idea. And nobody put enough into that idea to see, like, what are you going to do? Say, like, what are the people of Ark going to be like, well, we invented battle royale. Why? Because we put up a wall and a timer. Okay, did you invent literally anything else about the game? No. Well, then you can't say, like, so nobody has – nobody's planted a flag strong enough that they can claim anything about this genre.
Well, the thing is, again, they didn't copyright the idea. So, what – you know, they didn't copyright the idea. Number one, they couldn't copyright the idea, so therefore they couldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
Because, again, now if you own the rights to that thing, nobody else could do it. That's the way intellectual property works. So obviously there was something that was preventing them from from owning the copyright on this thing. So that's why it's in everything, you know?
And the fact that they sued for it shows that they're litigious enough to try and sue for it.
They complained about it.
Yeah, they did. They tried to sue. I don't think it went anywhere, but they tried to. But they singled out Fortnite specifically.
It was Epic. Because Epic is behind both of them.
Okay, maybe that's why they're
like
after
them.
They're using Epic.
Manny, let me finish. It's like
if you have here the Throwdown, right? And then one of us leaves and then starts something else called, you know, the Battle Body Slam or something, and it's the same form. You'd be like, yo, but you were on this one. What do you... No, it's my own thing. It's different. It's going to be a little different.
Explain to me how this is different than...
It's not. It's just they were working with them for the coding. They were doing everything with the Epic Engine.
Okay, that's the part that I think is the important bit. So who's they? Like, the people who wait... Who made them?
PUBG.
People behind PUBG were working with the people at Fortnite?
Not Fortnite. Forget Fortnite. Fortnite was off of Epic.
But that's who they sued.
They were using, because they were going after Epic because of the coding. Because they were supposedly saying that they were holding patches and some other things, because it's like a double dip. It's like this is what we're working on. Are you helping us? Meanwhile, you were secretly working and creating this other thing. Like, they knew about Fortnite, but the fact that they added its own battleground mode, that's what pissed him off. He wrote a letter about it, and he posted it first before anything, saying
Read: thief upset about things stolen from him.
It's weird. Yeah. You know what reminds me of something else that's going on? You have a Switch, right? Everybody has a Switch. Yeah, you know, there's that case. I forgot the name.
Manny has two of them, man.
There you go, Manny.
I have.
One's called the
DS, and the other one's called the Vita.
So this case is a really nice carry case. But if you look up the manufacturer, they're just producing cases, the official cases for Nintendo, you know, for their Switches. So they create official ones, but yet secretly on the side, they're making their own. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, what are you doing? We have a contract for you to make these cases. Yeah, but we want to sort of make some of our own because this is going to sell. We're just going to put different logos on it. They put Link and they put all kinds of stuff. But it's weird because they don't. That's not official. You can only find it in stores, but there's nothing connected because they're just a distributor. They just manufacture for others. It's weird.
That's crazy.
Speaking, when one company or person decides to help another company or person, even if it's inventing or creating anything under the umbrella, like if Manny makes something at Marvel, you know, on the premises that Marvel owns, the thing that he makes is owned by Marvel generally. Like,
yeah.
So I don't understand why it wouldn't be different. So if Epic helped them make a game, why would they not retain the rights to the very thing they helped
create? It's paying for it. It's their engine. It's not so much that Epic.
Yeah, they weren't.
It's the engine they were using.
They were licensing the engine.
Yes. And so the fact that they weren't secretly and went and created that other mode for another game was like a smack in the face. At least that's the way he felt, the people at PUBG or whoever it was that wrote that letter. Because there was a letter out there. I'll look for it.
Because he feels like he owns the battleground mode.
Yeah, that's like, what it is.
How dare somebody else make a battleground mode when you knew I was working on a battleground mode? Well, how dare you make a battleground mode when there's already a battleground mode for a very successful game out? Like, I just don't understand how his argument can't be turned right back against him.
Crickets.
Yep.
Yes, am I the only one that has to come in and say shit, man? I'm trying to pimp the show, motherfuckers. I agree with everything. By the way, I'll read some of the comments here because they're talking about the whole coding thing. So Wiz, bro, you gotta stop using Willie Robinson. That's your friend's fucking name. That's not yours. So he goes at Brett. Adam is essentially saying that Epic licensed the engine. Then when PUBG took off, they made Fortnite. And then Victor says Epic were helping with the coding, but they used it for Fortnite and it worked better, unlike PUBG with its problems. Interesting.
They complained about because they were waiting for patches and stuff, and Epic was like, yeah, we'll work on it. And all of a sudden, this other thing comes out and doesn't have any of those issues.
Yeah. By the way, Chris says that. He's like, oh, yeah, today's show's title's about Monster Hunter. Yes and no. It actually is about GTA. That's the sales monster. But we want to use Monster Hunter because that sold very well, too.
And also another monster, a game with giant monsters that came out this week too. So
yeah, that's right. See, we're getting them all, man.
Bunch of monsters.
Yeah, but it's not specifically about Monster Hunter. It's about everything, but it's mostly about GTA. You know, go ahead.
This kind of thing happens all the time. Like, outside of video games. You know, it's two movies come out that have very similar plots. Two video games come out that have very similar plots.
That's exactly what I see the Battle Royale mode now. It's like having two movies about meteors coming out during the summer. You know what I mean?
Armageddon. And everybody knows how that got made. Some fucking intern blabbed to another intern who told their boss, and then the people at Universal were like, we should make a Meteor movie too.
It's like, hey man, I hear Paramount's making a Meteor movie. Those motherfuckers, we're putting out a Meteor movie, and we're going to have our Meteor movie come out before their Meteor movie.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that the video game industry is smaller than the Hollywood industry, so word gets around a lot faster.
Here's the thing. One thing about you don't think that a lot of these guys talk, but they do talk. You know, the big, you know, they got the programmers, all the heads. They always talk all the other time. They're like, so, man, what are you working on? Oh, man, we're doing this game called, I don't know, what's called Metal Gear? I don't know. What are you doing? Oh, well, we got this thing, I don't know, called Splinter Cell. You know?
Why are you looking around like Stevie Wonder? Hey, you know.
Well, you know, because you're coming up with the idea like, oh, you know. Yeah. There you go.
You're making sure none of the original guys are in the room when you pitch it.
Yeah. Well, you got to look around like, yo, you know what we're working on, son?
Yeah, you know.
Yo, hold on. You know that movie Battle Royale, son? Yo, we making a game on it, man.
All right, keep it on the down low. There's this movie.
And then there's the guy down the bar right now, the bar stool. He's listening to this shit like, we're taking notes and shit.
or it could be shit like that one time where somebody was looking, the guy was a Microsoft executive, had an email open with all this stuff on it.
That's right.
They just looked over his shoulder.
What did it leak again? It was an Assassin's Creed game, right?
No, that was Ubisoft you're thinking about. He had his shit open. By the way, that happens with every Assassin's Creed game. Yo, okay, there was one on a train. There was one on a fucking plane. Like every weight mode of traveling that they've got discovered on the fucking air, sea, and roads.
but then you wonder to yourself, why the fuck did they make these emails look so friggin' pretty? There's literally a thing on the top that says a new Assassin's Creed game.
Hey, man.
Because they're all sending us to the marketing material.
Yeah, it's crazy, but here's the thing though. Manny and I experienced this firsthand. Remember our first flight to E3? The guy sitting next to us working for Microsoft. You know how we figured it out? Because this is his fancy ass emails. We're like, yo, my man, you working for Microsoft?
Sorry to look at your email.
Yeah, but by the way, for you guys who don't know the story, we'll quickly tell you. So we were on this plane and stuff, and Manny and I were talking a bunch of shit about the Xbox One, right? Because it was stupid. Yeah. And then we saw the guy, and we're like, oh, shit, my man works for Microsoft. Manny legit goes, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, man, you guys screwed up the messaging. And he was like, yeah, we kind of did. He admitted it. You know, but he was like, listen, wait till E3. We got you. And yeah, that E3, remember, yeah, that E3 was a good E3 because people were like, oh, they fucked up at E3. No, they didn't. They fucked up the presentation. They fucked up the presentation. The reveal they fucked up. You know?
Yeah, the reveal was shit.
But yeah, Battle Royale modes. You know, I think we said it on the last episode of Throw Any Questions. Shit is here to stay. That's it.
Yo, man, it's out on the streets. Everything's going to have a Battle Royale mode. Street Fighter.
Yo, man, Throwdown's going to have a Battle Royale mode next week, man.
Throwdown's going to have a Battle Royale mode. We're essentially all going to go centering in somewhere in the middle of the United States and battling.
Yeah. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and look into my crystal ball and say we're going to get an expansion of this Battle Royale mode, but we're actually going to circle back. We're going to circle back, and they're going to be like, this Battle Royale mode doesn't have a timer. This Battle Royale mode doesn't have a wall that closes in on you. This Battle Royale mode never ends. And you'd be like, okay, so basically you made Ark.
Oh, man.
That's we're going to circle back to that.
We've called this mode Ark mode.
Yeah, could you imagine as like in this mode, you start with no weapons, but you start with a bunch of weapons, but you gradually get less weapons. Gradually, the world expands. It's like, and people start to just reverse it
it'll be Benjamin a different Button, mode in a Battle Royale game. It'll be like, you know, for the truly hardcore that want to be king of the mountain and stay there, we have our new unlimited mode. No timer, no restraints, all mayhem.
Yeah. By the way, I like my idea of a Benjamin Button Battle Royale mode now.
Reverse mode. Everybody gets old.
Yes. No, you know, the reverse of it is like instead of going in one direction, it goes another. Like by the end, it's like a giant open world and stuff, you know, instead of like a little constrictor world.
I don't know. So let me get this straight. 45 people are shoved into a room four of them manage not to get murdered on their way out and then spend another 6 years looking for each other as the
yes.
world continues to grow.
Yes, that is the game we're making.
A satisfying game.
Benjamin Button coming to your Xbox this holiday season. All right.
But no, man, because all it would be a fusion of, think about it this way, Battle Royale meets GTA Online. You and your friends can own a corner of the map. Done.
Yeah.
You've got Ark.
Oh, man, I'll tell you guys some shit after the show. All right, so next up here, this one's for Adam, man. There's another rumor, by the way, even though I'm pretty fucking sure it's true, because this rumor happens every time around this time of year. New Call of Duty got leaked, and it's going to be, surprise, surprise, Black Ops 4, you know? Mm-hmm. Not a surprise, Adam, right? Not a surprise
no,
here.
No. Not a surprise. Oh, all right. You ready? Yeah, no. Not a surprise, but I'm nervous because people are like, oh, it's coming to Switch. It's going to be great. Well, it's a third-party group that works with them. Yeah, but that they did that before with Vita, and we saw how bad that one was.
Oh, that's
that
right.
That was horrible, and that was the same thing. It was a third-party group that did a lot of the maps, and who's this group? It's another group that did a lot of the maps and worked with them on things, and I have no faith in it right now. No faith. Right now, I'll just wait till that one comes out, and then I'll see what happens. But, I mean, yeah, Black Ops 4, of course, they're going to continue with the pattern of 1, 2, and 3, and it's supposedly this is going to be another, you know, boots on the ground, which basically means none of that high-tech wall running and Titanfall-type gameplay, which is great. You know, that's what everybody likes, and that's why I enjoy this one so much, because I don't have to worry about me chasing some guy down an alleyway, and next you know he's pulling a, you know, Assassin's Creed, hopping along the walls and in through a window. I'm like, what the hell? I was like, no. You know, if you turn the corner, I see you running, I'm going to get you by like 20, 30 yards. That's it. But, yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I mean, they've been on everything. You know, hell, it's on your phone. You can get a Call of Duty right now. So let's just hope it works out. Just hope it works out, but yeah, it's clockwork because they got three studios working on it, and it's now a Black Ops crew. So the fun thing with this is that the Black Ops series is the one that's the four-player co-op. So I wonder if the Switch version is going to support that, and maybe through ad hoc or something. But that would be fun, you know, play with some buddies. I don't know how the online is going to work for it, but I think it'd be cool to play.
By the way, they also released Call of Duty games on the Wii U. Were those also made by external guys?
That's a good question. Don't know, because I didn't play it on the Wii U. That's a good question. I'll look that up.
Yeah, look that up, please. But we'll get to the Switch version of it, because actually, is there anything to say about Call of Duty? It's Call of Duty, you know, whatever. But yeah, how are you going to get the game to run on Switch? Like, is it going to be compromised? How's that going to work? Chris, get in here. How do you think they could get Call of Duty to run on this shit?
I don't know. I mean, wouldn't Activision have to do the legwork to do, like, online? And how would you do voice? It's a stupid app. Like, that seems pointless that they try to get that. I honestly don't have a good way for them to do that. Like, the voice chat on the Switch is non-existent except if you use the phone app, which is dumb. Like, we've all talked about that. And then Nintendo's not going to have their online, whatever that is, till September. So what would be the point? Like, and they're not good at sharing. I don't know if you know this. Nintendo's not good at sharing anything. So EA, Activision, all these guys don't have a clue what their netcode is going forward to develop against it, right? Mm-mm. If they are introducing something like that. So how would they even begin to do online for that? Unless they did the heavy lifting themselves and figured something out, like ad hoc, which is ridiculous because they'd have to pay for it. I don't see them doing that.
Yeah. By the way, Victor, this is not throwing your questions, brother. I appreciate you asking questions, but, you know, save that for the Sunday show. Here's my thing, like, because I kind of see them in a rock and a hard place, right? It's just like, okay, you could easily probably port the game over to Switch if you don't have the online mode, right? But you're probably not, because, you know, Call of Duty games, they pride themselves on, like, oh, we're running at 60 frames. I don't think that's just going to be running at 60 frames on Switch. But then if you do have the online in there, that's going to be fucked up because, like you said, the online infrastructure on Switch. So I don't know how they're going to make this work. I'm guessing we're going to, you know, find out how this is going to work in a month or two when they officially announce it. But yeah, the Switch version, very questionable. Then my question to you guys is, do you think the main game is being compromised so it can fit on Switch? You know what I'm saying? Like the Switch is the lowest common denominator, so all of them suffer in it, you know, because of that. Do you think that may happen here?
Yeah, no, because they said it's a third party group. It's someone else doing it.
No, but so you mean they're doing a completely different game then?
We don't know.
But you don't understand.
It's definitely gonna be going to be called Black Ops, but it might be mini missions like what we played with that other one, because that's what they did with the Vita. The Vita was going to be broken down into like mini missions, like 13. Oh man, the guys who did SOCOM. Oh man, remember that for Vita, when it was a bunch of missions.
Oh, so they would do it like that, I guess?
That's what they were trying to do for the one for Vita, and I have a feeling that's what they were going to do for here, because the 3DS also had one, and it was Black Ops, the original Black Ops that went to Wii. I'm looking right now to see the dev on it, though.
Yeah, so you think they'll do that with this one, or you just break it up into little missions?
Yeah, I mean, that's the most thing. How are you going to fit all of that? You know, that's the question. It's all about size.
Well, the thing is, I mean, like...
voice work and the story.
Yeah, let me ask you, Adam. So when you're talking about size, are you talking about, like... actual like the size of the game or file size? Because I'm like
file size.
Yeah, okay. Because yeah, we're talking.
Remember, there's a lot of content in here, especially a lot of audio work. You know, so and with a lot of different sound effects. You know, you got to take that into consideration. You know, explosions and all the different sounds of the weapons and all that. If you want it to sound authentic, you're using some high quality samples here. So, all of that's going to get reduced, obviously, and get compressed. But to what point? To the point that it doesn't work, like my WWE 2K18, where it's, you know, frame rate issues and all kinds of stuff. Or, you know, the best thing you could do is just break it down, make them smaller.
To be fair, though, look, I mean, I guess Doom, you know, obviously has levels and stuff, so maybe something like that, right? Because think about it, Doom is a current, Doom is a current gen game, and Wolfenstein 2 is also coming. So I think, because let's just be honest here, Call of Duty is a very linear game. It's not open world. I think
Wolfenstein, go ahead. 2 would be the definitive factor right there. That it would be the point that we all need to focus on to see if Call of Duty or anything past that's going to look great, because that's similar to it. It has a lot of big high spot cinema moments. It has a lot of great sound, and there's a lot of audio, a lot of dialogue in that. You know, so unless they take that audio out and then they just put a box, you know, like
You know,
I mean, how are you with all those crazy cutscenes, man? That game has so many cutscenes.
It's all gonna look like a PlayStation 3 game, don't you know?
You know. So well, let's see. So when that game comes out, then we'll know if any other epic big game like that, you know, that 5-star action adventure game like a Call of Duty and those type, see if they actually could perform well on it. If they can pull it off, because was it Machine Gun Games? They're amazing. Those guys, they make magic. You know, these games look amazing. So if they can't do it, it can't be done.
Damn. All right. I guess we'll see that. You know? Yeah. Okay. So, just quickly, Wolfenstein's coming out in a month or two. So yeah, we're going to see that. Anyway, Brett, go ahead.
Most of these games. And correct me if I'm wrong, but most of these games, the majority of the power is put towards textures. They could just have kind of shitty looking light texture games on Switch. And for the most part, like, I can't think of anything that's super intensive. Like, why not just dial back the, you know, Call of Duty runs on pretty low end PCs just fine. So why would you not just pretty much scale it back the same way for the Switch?
Yeah,
I agree. About the size itself, though. The size, I mean, even on PC, it's still like over 60 gigs. Still a big file.
But I don't know, because I'm like, yo, if they could get Doom and fucking Wolfenstein to run on Switch, they could probably get Call of Duty to run it. But the single player, though, I don't know about the rest.
Campaign audio, that's my only issue. Just all of that. How are you going to fit that in all of the big cutscenes? There's a lot of big cutscenes.
You may lose some of the audio, but in terms of like the actual gameplay, I mean, I think it'll be the equivalent of putting it on, you know, very low under settings and then going back in and cleaning up a little bit and trying to increase efficiency and you know, church it up a little bit. But that's all it's going to be, is the lowest iteration of
It'll be the PC version on low settings. You know,
if you really think I just about hope it works, man. I mean, that'll be awesome to take that and go. That would be money, big time money. Look how it's always, Call of Duty's always in the top of the MPDs, always top 10. Think about if it was a badass version on the Switch.
Yeah, you know? it would sell. It would sell.
So if they don't half-ass it and they actually go all out and say, you know what, we're going to make something legit. We're not going to put some BS shooter like we did on the Vita. Then, yeah, it'll be amazing.
Yeah, because I remember there was that one Call of Duty game came out on Wii. People were pissed. That thing sucked. You know,
that's this. That's a Black Ops. That's what I'm looking at now, and it's so funny. I can't find a dev team on it. There's like usually they have it on the box art and stuff, and some of them can't.
Yeah, they want to hide, son. You know, they don't want you to know it was. That's crazy, man. So yeah, well, you know, Call of Duty. There you go. So we'll bring you more info on that. Definitely want to keep your eye on that. The Switch version.
Call of Duty.
There you go, Techno Fabulous. okay, so this one, it's not like big news or nothing, but it's kind of interesting. And plus, we don't really have much to talk about this week. Let's talk about PS4 firmware update 5.5, which is currently in beta. So it has a bunch of new features, and I'm just looking at the PlayStation blog. So we're just going to run through them. The first feature is playtime management, where basically, you know, if you have a kid and shit, you can manage the amount of time he puts in there. Like, you know, I think I'm guessing the machine shuts off, like the game, it'll tell you like, hey, you have 10 minutes, save your game now, you know. Also, as somebody brought up, this could also be like, let's just be honest here, a good tool for people who may not have too much self-control. You know, they could be like, hey, you know what, I'm going to control myself here, you know. So, you know, that's good, parental control like that. They're going to update the library UI, which is good, I guess. They're going to have new tabs there. You can hide, my personal favorite, you can hide tabs, because I hate seeing fucking demos and shit still in my library. You can finally hide all that, you know? Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to see which games you've bought off of PlayStation Plus, and if you aren't currently subscribed, they'll have a little lock on them. You know what I'm saying?
So that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
It's just more quality of life sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Quick menu enhancements. What is this shit? I don't know what the fuck that means. You can have background music on PlayStation Now, which I guess is interesting. You can finally clean up your notifications, man, because now with a before you could delete all your notifications. Now they all just stay there. So now you could finally delete shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, you'll like this one. You could upload your custom wallpapers now.
That's cool. So now you can, I mean, I hope you're able to keep the background music that you have from, you know, when you replace them.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about the background
like,
music.
It's more like you can save a wallpaper from online and stick it on there.
Yeah,
it'll be the default one that they have, because that's what I was doing for a little while. It's like I just going through the web browser, and I had a bunch of sites, or I would connect to my OneDrive, because you can connect to it through the web browser, and then I had a bunch of images, save those over, and then set it. But yeah, it uses the default PS4 sound. That you can't, I wish you could mismatch the sound that you had from the others, from other
like what if you like the button noises or the movement noises from one of the themes, and the theme music from another one. It'd be a nice thing.
No, I agree with you guys. They're also going to do the same thing kind of for tournaments and stuff. You could customize them with your own logos, which is good.
That's cool.
Yeah, I never tried tournaments. And then the big one here, which is a feature I personally feel should have been in there day one, super sampling mode on PS4 Pro. So basically, you know, some games, they have super sample mode and stuff. Now every game, not every game, because some games just won't have it, period. Now most games will have that mode. So, like, it won't be up putting at like 4K, but it'll be like 1440p, you know, super sampling and shit for like 1080p TVs, which is good, you know. But they did say that not every game is going to look better, so just be aware that
not every game is going to look better, and not every game is going to run perfect either.
Yeah. So my question is, can you run this mode and boost mode concurrently?
That would be something to try out.
You know, so
I would think so. They didn't say we had to disable boost mode.
They did not. So I'm like, okay, so you could potentially have a game run at a higher frame rate and have higher textures. Pretty cool, you know? I don't know when this thing is going to roll out. I know they're beta testing it right now. So you know how PlayStation, they get like one big update or maybe two a year. This is one. This one has a Japanese name too. It's a KG, like KG Inafune, you know? So yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Okay, Manny, question for you. That special thing we're going to do, should we do it now, or should we do what games we were playing first?
Let's do what games we're talking about and what games we're playing, and then we'll end it off with that.
Okay. Since you're talking, Manny, what games are you playing now?
Well, I am playing Monster Hunter World, and I'm also playing Shadow of the Colossus, but I'm doing it a little bit different. I'm just going around and, you know, exploring the environment and getting all the shrines and stuff. So I haven't even fought the first Colossus. So It's, you know, one of the things I've always enjoyed about that game is just looking around at the different things in the environment. And there's a little extra thing which they did now, which they have these little gold coins that they've hidden throughout the game. There's about 79 of them. At least the theory is that there's 79 of them. And they're all in obscure places throughout the game. In fact, IGN did stumble onto one of them when they found the Trico barrel in that one area of the game. So right now, actually, it's actually while we're on the stream, the guy, one of the trophy hunter guys from, I think it's called PS4 Trophy. He actually found the 79th one, which they found out these things were, there were 79 of them from the credits of Shadow of the Colossus. So I guess now he's just trying to figure out what it did, which It might have done nothing.
Wait, real quick, just want to get that out of the way. Treyarch did do it, Black Ops 2. So it is for the Wii. It was the same ones. Yeah. They didn't go to the party on it. All right, sorry.
Okay, so then the Monster Hunter World, I just haven't had the time to play it because I'm in a bit of work mode. Maybe I'll pop on tonight and see how many of the monsters I could kill to at least get to the same, close to the same point as everybody else in the room is and on Throwdown is.
Yeah, what are your quick thoughts on Shadow Colossus, the way that turned out?
It's a very nice remaster. I don't know what you call it, because essentially...
Remake is a remake.
It's what's crazy about it, because it's like the original code of Shadow of the Colossus. I saw an interview with the guys at Bluepoint, and the original code of Shadow of the Colossus is running underneath this thing. So it's still PlayStation 2 code. They just tore out a bunch of things that they wanted to improve, like his little cloth, the hair on the Colossus, and then they have their own engine on top of it doing other additional things. So it's both engines kind of handshaking, which is a weird... I'd love to hear more about it. But anyway, it's a really well-done game. I mean, it captures what the game was originally, and then it just pushes it even, you know, more. The environments and all the textures look great. The characters look nice. They even did a bunch of remapped buttons, which are cool, quality of life stuff. Where, like, you know, Wander, the way he used to work is you used to have to press the grab button for everything. So, like, if you were jumping onto the horse from, like, maybe a high height, you would have to press the grab button in order to kind of grab onto the side of him. Now it doesn't do that anymore. Now when you press the jump button at him, he just automatically attaches to him. Like he, if you press that button, and now there's a roll button as opposed to having to press the crouch button and then hit the jump button to do the roll. So there's a lot of really great things that speed up stuff. It's a lot of fun. Just, you know, I've always had a lot of fun exploring the empty world of the Forbidden Land.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Monster Hunter. Yeah. Good, great game. And I can't wait to continue to play it.
Well, you will play tomorrow night during the stream.
Yes, I will. Hopefully somebody will actually be like, hey, I'm going to play with you, instead of like the last time where they're like, nah, you're too low. You can't play this.
Well, you know, that's what happens, man. By the way, Violence and Empathy over on Twitch, he goes, we'll help you power level, Manny. By the way, shout out to Twitch tonight. We actually got 6 heads in there, which is way more than usual. So that's pretty awesome, you know? Okay, so yeah, I've been playing the Monster Hunters. That's all I've been playing. Ooh, man, your boy, man. But the reason I haven't beaten the game yet is because I'm helping out you guys come up. I'm also doing, you know, helping out randoms and stuff. It's a fun game, man. I will be playing, I can't say anything more, but I haven't started yet. But this whole weekend, your boy is going to be playing Kingdom Come Deliverance. That's going to be crazy, you know? And I also got this. I want to give a shout out to Nicalis. I think I said the name right. They sent me something special, and I can't talk about this. This is Wonder Boy for the PS4. This is a physical copy. It was only digital. They sent me this, and they sent me this for the Switch. Pretty cool stuff. I mean, you know what? Since I have you guys here, captive audience, let me show you goodies inside, man. So it comes with this little dragon guy. You know, I'm guessing he's the main character, right? You have the little dragon guy. You have a CD. Look at this, how small this is. It almost like a UMD, you know? And you know, I was talking to Manny about this. This shocked the fuck out of me. I was like, what the hell is this? This seems familiar. People, we used to have these things called instruction booklets back in the day. And they used to be in color. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Ain't that something, you know?
You know what's
interesting? Same thing for the PlayStation version. Same thing.
Did you steal that out of a Super Nintendo game?
Right. Go ahead, Manny.
It's funny that version of the booklet is Nintendo shaped.
Yeah.
The old Nintendo game. Oh, look, it's got another cover.
So that's the cover cool. That's on the inside. Okay, here's the cover on the outside, right? Here's the cover on the inside. Same thing with the PlayStation. Same exact deal going on. You know.
Nice.
So I'm gonna play that. Yeah. So you know, shout out to
But you gonna play it on the Switch or on the PS4?
Both, man. And you know what I'm gonna do too? I'm also gonna play Wonder Boy 3, the original, to compare it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I would be. You go ahead.
Yeah, you can flip back and forth from the from the classic mode to the original.
So yeah, that's going to be my role. So I'm going to be playing that and be playing Kingdom Come Deliverance. That game I'm really hyped for because it's an RPG, but it doesn't have Dungeons and Dragons shit. It's just like straight up real medieval shit. By the way, not to derail the topic here, I'm already seeing bullshit about this game. People are like, oh, we're the black people. They had black people in medieval Europe, bro. Come on, man.
They're in Africa, dude.
You know, the sad thing is, like, if there were any black people, they would probably be servants, and that'd be probably even worse.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. It depends on where exactly you're talking about. There were several places where, like, you know, the Roman Empire had free black people. It just depends. But this particular time and place where this game takes place, there wasn't a whole lot of that. We're talking, you know, Eastern Europe during the Dark Ages.
Yeah, this is the...
And they were called the Dark Ages. Just let me remind some uneducated motherfuckers out there. They're called the Dark Ages because there was a lack of knowledge and fact and science. Mm-hmm. And we had essentially regressed backwards. And a large part of that had to do with the lack of travel, which created a lack of communication, which created a vacuum for ignorance to spread in, and religion stepped in and basically tried to fill that vacuum. But a core tenet of that is a lack of travel. You're not going to see a whole lot of new people. You're going to have genetically homogenized pockets or pockets of population, right? So no, by the very nature of what this is based on, in this particular instance, you're not going to see a whole lot of black people. Set somewhere else? Sure. Set another time? Sure. But because they chose to focus on this time and place, it would be historically inaccurate to present a lot of black people. It'd be like trying to make like an African warfare video game in which there's, you know, a tribe of European white people. Like, well, that never happened. Oh, we just wanted to include them anyway. Like, well, yeah, it's just a little weird.
Imagine the uproar if they did something like that. Let's just be real now. This article was just a waste of time because I'm like, okay, the game takes place in, you know, Bohemia, which, you know, was the old Czech Republic, right? And in the Holy Roman Empire, not a lot of black people there, you know?
There were some in the Holy Roman Empire, not a whole lot at that point.
Yeah, not in Bohemia specifically. Yeah.
Fucking bailed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, back in the day, in like the height of the Roman Empire, yeah, you'd see more black.
Holy Roman Empire.
No, I know. Yeah. My point is, you would see more black people in classic Rome than the Holy Roman Empire.
That's right.
In classic Rome, there were still motherfucking trade routes from all corners of the globe going through there. By the time you get to the Holy Roman Empire, ain't nobody going there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. The Roman Empire, ancient shit, they actually had black people. Holy Roman, not so much.
Also, I just want to point out, Holy Roman Empire is, what is that, the Catholics?
It was, by the way, just for you people who don't know, the Holy Roman Empire was actually the First Reich. They didn't call it that, you know? It was Holy Roman Empire, then there was the German Empire, which was the Second Reich, and then you had the actual Third Reich, just so people know. Yes, it was. I don't know if it was Catholic. It was definitely Christian. I don't think they were Catholic, though. I could be wrong about that.
It wasn't the Protestant, because the Protestant was the Church of England. So, no, I think that was the predecessor to Catholicism. Either way, during both of those stints, there was a lot of purging. that happened.
Yeah. By the way, shout out. Yeah, shout out to Sergio for the super chat, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate
Thanks, Sergio.
Don't spend it all in one place. I'll try, man. Yeah, go ahead, Brett. Finish off the history lesson. But yeah, we got to teach people, because I'm like, yo, in the article, it's like, this is historically inaccurate. There were black people in Europe. Like, yeah, there were, but not in that particular part, you know?
In a lot of places, they were kind of fucking run out, because unless you accepted Christianity, you were not really welcome in Europe at that point. It really didn't have a lot to do with skin tone. In fact, yes, there was xenophobia, but in terms of like merchants and travelers and whatnot, like they didn't really give a shit what color you were for the most part. They just knew you were an outsider. A lot of racism as we know it today hadn't really developed. It was more based on your country or where you're coming from. And I know that sounds like the same thing, but there is a huge difference based off of, you know, like you're Greek as opposed to you're of Greek heritage, because there were some migratory people there that they weren't necessarily based off their genetics, but who they held their loyalty to. So that being said, unless you were a Muslim or an African or somebody like that who had converted to Christianity, you'd have a really hard time in this time and place. You know, it is a core pillar to everything about this. Like the Holy Roman Empire were assholes. They were crusading motherfuckers. Like there's a reason that you don't see a whole lot of diversity, and that's a natural result of the time and the place. So you can't – and this game touts itself on historical accuracy too. So like this isn't a concession you could realistically ask somebody to make. And the biggest thing that I could see anybody – like, and I'm even going out on a limb here – is why would you choose to focus on this time and place? Like, that could be the biggest criticism that you could give to somebody. But like, well, don't you feel like this is kind of a bit of a boring time and place? Like, wouldn't a trade hub city that's a little bit more diverse, you know, give you more gameplay options? But for the most part, they're like, no, it's – and the same thing would be with a Viking game. If you made a Viking game right around the time that they started to invade England, which is when all the big Viking sagas, you know, when that's the part everybody wants to pay attention to – there weren't any black people there then either, and they weren't in England where they went to pillage. So no, you're not really going to see a whole lot of that. I don't understand how I'm even having to have this conversation.
I know it's ridiculous. Like, listen, do people do their historically accurate games? This is how historically accurate this game is, right? Because remember, this is the Middle Ages. If you want to learn, like, you know, certain like for example, if you go to the monastery, right? You know, you have to read. You're illiterate. You have to learn how to read. This is how accurate the game is. You know, you just don't read automatically. You need to learn that shit, you know, because people did not read back then, you know, unless you were a scholar or a fucking church man or something, you know. So, yeah, the game's going for historic accuracy. So having anybody in there that wasn't ethnically whatever the Chechens are, that would be inaccurate. So come on, guys, get off the bullshit. Like, I could understand that, because the similar controversy happened with The Witcher 3. They were like, why is there no black people? This is a fantasy game, you could throw them in there. Even though the developer's like, yeah, but even though it's fantasy, it's based on Polish shit, Polish history, kind of, you know. There weren't any black people in Poland, but at least you can legitimately go, yeah, but it's a fantasy, you could do whatever you want. This shit is not fantasy. This shit is 100% realistic. You know,
can I also point out, though, real quick, that there's a pitfall that a lot of people want to forget about this kind of thing. OK, so let's say, you know, the classic argument would then become like, so what you're telling me is not one single black person, maybe along a trade route or something like that, would have managed to find his way into this village. And the response is, yes, there is a chance, albeit not a big one, that you could have a ethnically diverse person find themselves in a small community, because that's what these are. We're talking about small communities, essentially. Most, because there is no giant empire at this point. There's what they considered big cities, which for honestly speaking, like, didn't have huge populations. So like, yes, you may find a couple people there, but then you run the risk of having them be the token black guy. You can't just have a black guy in a video game full of white guys without incurring the exact same wrath. You have to represent them in a fair enough any culture minority. You have to represent them within the context of their culture. So you're talking about a small pocket. So to do that, you kind of and I hate to get mathematical or anything about it at this point, but like you probably have to have about 10% of the population, enough that you can have like, you know, a certain part of town that these people are usually relegated to, which is how historically this kind of thing happened. You know, if you had a Jewish quarter or whatever, you have to have enough of those people that it can be a part of the culture. So unless you reach that point of saturation where it was kind of a cultural thing and not the exception or the oddity, you can't really put it in the game without it becoming token. And again, that's just as damning as not having anything at all. It just seems like you're trying to dance around the subject. So not only are you just where you started, but you've also lost the integrity of the thing that you're trying to say by eroding your original comment. The most high road thing they could do at that point is kind of stick to their guns and be like, no, there wouldn't be any of this. And I'm not going to put one or two in there just to be the token fucking minority so that I don't catch heat. That's more insulting than just being historically accurate.
Yeah, you're right. By the way, Barry says, update. The Holy Roman Empire just added a battle royale mode.
Nice.
And Barry also...
The Holy Roman Empire was a battle royale mode.
By the way, and he also rightly points out the Holy Roman Empire was neither holy, nor Roman, nor an empire.
Yep. That is perfect. Pretty much everything about that statement is wrong.
Yep. Oh, man, I love it. Anyway, there's a little history lesson for you guys. I'll tell you more about the game when it drops on Tuesday. My review is going to go up at that time. Well, not really review, my write-up, because this game is so big, I cannot play the whole thing in 3 days, obviously. But we're going to talk more about this game. Very interesting. Chris, what are you playing, brother?
I am also playing Monster Hunter World.
Cool.
I'm working my way up there. I'm in the Rotten Vale, and it stinks. It stinks so bad it hurts.
Yo, man, it's fart, man. Monster fart.
Yeah, it's fart town. And it's funny, like, I'm not making a parallel like some game journalists was like, Dark Souls is everything. There's a stage, actually in Demon's Souls, that is much like the Rotten Vale, where there's poison everywhere, and it's full of like bones and just rotten flesh, and you're like, how does this place exist? Here, it's like the land is made out of old blood and guts and bones of monsters. Mm-hmm. There isn't actually rocks or anything. So it's gross. I hate it, and I hate the things that live there.
Yes, they're fucking Odegaard, man. Odegaard, your boy,
man, will beat my ass. Yo, man, I'm trying to get that other Sonic the Hedgehog motherfucker and harvest his bones so I can get some armor.
The roly poly.
Put his bones in one bag and his organs in another.
Spawn.
Oh, man. I'm guessing that's the only thing you're playing right now, right? Monster Hunter is the thing we're mostly playing. Let's just be real.
It's the hotness, yo.
I mean, if I hop on GTA 5, it's just to check out an update. But, like, I don't play very long. This has absorbed my life now.
It's crazy. And, Carlos, you got the same thing going on, too, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much the same as Manny with Shadow of the Colossus and Monster Hunter, man. Shadow of the Colossus, yo, that game is beautiful, man.
It is, man. It's like the original. You're like, man, this game's beautiful. Then you're like, oh, shit, this is even more beautiful.
I didn't even know it could get more beautiful. Yo, man, I'm running it on the 60 frame mode on the PS Pro. Yeah. It's, man, it runs it's so like good. It, yes, man. It's so smooth. And, yeah, so I beat like first three Colossi. So yeah, I'm gonna be playing that probably more in the weekend. But like everyone else, most of my time has been monopolized by Monster Hunter. Man, I haven't. Yo, by the way, notice I didn't mention a game.
Yeah, I'm gonna. That was my follow up question. Did it actually get you to stop playing Heroes of the Storm?
I haven't played it in 2 weeks.
Oh shit.
Oh shit! They cut the vein.
It's getting kind of hectic.
Cut that vein,
yo.
Yo, I know, right? Damn, man,
that's crazy, man. It's real,
yo,
right now.
Yo, who told Capcom they could do this, man?
Right? Yeah, it's yo, like, doesn't man, it Capcom. Feel like the old days, like when Capcom used to drop Hot Fire? You know,
like holy shit, man! I want to call them up, like, yo, man, how are these cats so good? You didn't tell me these cats would be so cute, man. So I could slap you.
Yeah, you're right. It's too good. It's too good. I like the cat.
Like, I'm gonna come in and fight me some monsters and kill some. Oh my god, is that a cat thing? Is it wearing a hat? Oh, it's feeding me food.
What about that pig though? That's Manny's friend.
That's my buddy,
Poogie.
Oh yeah, Poogie.
Dude, my favorite is Meowscular Chef.
Yes.
Max Games.
The Meowskiller Chef.
That's his name.
Yeah, no, I thought I find that's it's hilarious.
The big cat.
Yeah, man, he wants some gains, man. Like you work out, man. What you lifting? How much you bench, bro?
He's like,
you'll get gains. We'll beef up this menu so much that you'll get gains just from looking at it.
You know that yeah, shit is crazy.
All that's left is having a cat army.
Pretty much, man.
Going after the Zora Magnaros, man.
Oh, by the way, so this is what happened because when I first started playing the game and the cats started making you food, I'm like, yo, isn't that food full of cat hair and shit? And as Chris pointed out, I was like, yo, in this world, they probably don't give a shit. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're eating in dirty camps, you're eating off stone and mud. Like, these guys are made of iron. They don't fucking care about cat hair is probably a garnish.
That's right. That's
where do you
right.
think that medium skill defense or that medium defense up comes from?
Oh, man. You'd be eating.
Also, they wear gloves.
Yeah. They wear gloves. What about the rest of their bodies, man?
I know, man. I mean, these guys go out. If somebody told me to go out and do research, it's like, yo, Chris, I'm going to need you to scrape up mucus and dung from this giant thing. I'd be like, I quit. Get me back on the boat to the old world that's clean. Like, fuck this.
Yeah, what's going on, and OBJ?
The handler, is that her name? The handler?
Yeah, the handler. Yes, well, just handler. That's it.
Oh, yeah, handler. She's way too optimistic.
Yeah, she about really
like,
is.
Yeah, welcome to the world of Monster Hunter.
Oh, wow, we're going to go hunt monsters. It's like, yo, I still can't get over that thing I saw on Twitter. I'm like, come on. So this guy goes, oh, the handler sounds just like my wife. I'm like, your wife sounds like an anime character, bro. Really?
Yeah. You know what would be funny? It'd be hilarious. It'd be like, yeah, it does, because my wife is the voice of that, character.
Ooh, hold on. I got to give a quick shout-out to Spawn on Me, who's in the Twitch chat right now. What's going on? Whoa. That is either Cicero or Khalif, or it could be Sharif. You know what's going on, man? Yeah, but they asked a good question. Who handles the handler? Mind blown, son.
that's like who watches The Watchmen.
You watch it.
Oh, keep my man Khalif in the house. Yo, we got to have you back on the show, brother. I think he's been playing. Yeah, he's been playing Monster. Everybody's playing Monster Hunter except Adam.
So, you know why I think the handler never sounds worried?
Why?
Why is that?
White privilege.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. What's going on, Hussein? What's going on, brother?
Nah, but seriously, yeah. She sits her ass in camp all day. There's like two missions that she goes on. She's like, oh, fight that thing. Like, really, bitch? Really? I need to fight this giant monster that's attacking kids. You don't fucking say.
Hey, she cooks a mean meal, though, son.
not as good as Meowskiller Chef.
Yeah. By the way, somebody actually replicated in real life one of the meals you eat.
Oh, I saw really? That.
Yo, it's crazy, man.
It was like a turkey. It's you know the
dude. It was like
chicken.
A whole roast and like lobsters on skewers and like a big fucking soup thing. Like it looked like it was a legitimate Monster Hunter meal. I was thinking to myself, like, I want to see you eat that like a hunter.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, no Dana? Way. Yeah, are you? She says she's happy. Black people are in the game. Yeah, you can make them whatever skin color you want.
Yeah,
you know
you can do. And yeah, one of the researchers is a black lady. And then there's a couple, there's, you know, some of the random NPCs.
Hey, man, the commander's a brother too, you know?
Yep. The guy who essentially sounds like every anime leader guy. We need to get Zora Magnumus.
Yeah. By the way, can I keep it real right now? I like the fact that there's black people in this game and they don't have those stupid big ass lips. You know, anime always does that shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad they didn't do that.
They kind of overly do it. It's like, hey, that's a black character. Okay. Why did you do that?
Yeah, it's like, you know, everybody's like Mr. Popo, you know?
Yeah. I like the fact that they have different people in this game. Like, they have black people in there, they have Asian people in there, they have elves in there, and they don't make a fucking big deal about it.
No, man, because, you know,
not
monsters.
One person that comes along. They don't have one black guy to be like, I came from a different part of the empire that had its own struggles, and my culture is its own. Like, okay, and do you hunt Anjanath? Because that's all I really care about.
Yeah, in this world, right, you can't really worry about that because everybody's united by one thing, killing monsters. That's a beautiful thing.
Killing monsters. So right. does that mean they're in the next one they'll have like a PETA, like maybe like PETA guys in there?
Yeah, I'm surprised PETA hasn't jumped PETA on this shit, you know?
Maybe because they're fake monsters. They're not real animals.
Yeah, right.
Know.
But if you kill one of those cats, heaven forbid you kill one of those cats, PETA's going to be on that ass.
Dude, I think if you killed a palico, you'd be exiled from the hunter community.
That is true.
They'd be like, why would you do such a horrible thing?
Now the player base would get your ass, man. You don't kill a Palico, you know? Anyway, so yeah, Brett, since you're talking Monster Hunter, I'm guessing, right? That's been your whole life right now?
I have been playing Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter.
Actually, Riku's been playing Monster Hunter. We've all been playing Monster Hunter.
Yes, yes, yes. Different game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've it's pretty much eaten my life. So I haven't played in the last couple of days because work caught me, and it's one of those games. It's dangerous. We're like, hey man, you want to hop on and play Monster Hunter for an hour? No, because it won't be an hour. It'll be all night.
You already know, son. You already know.
I don't know where in. I'm convinced that Capcom somehow with this disc made my PlayStation spread a fine aerosol mist of cocaine. Because
cocaine, he said.
Cocaine. Yeah, don't say it the other way, because YouTube's algorithm. You know, yo, no, your Brett's like that, because you know, like even right now as we're talking, I'm just like, you know, I want to play this shit right now. You know, like, can I have some more?
So you guys got Legend of Yara? I mean, it's cool. I'll take an Anjanath, a fucking, you know, Pookie, whatever. I mean, yeah, yo, man, even a cooler. Anything you got, man.
Yeah, yo, going back to what we were doing before, right? Like, yo, son, yo, you got that Anjanath, man? Oh, man. And to change everything up, Adam, man, what have you been playing?
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Madden 18. Love and Madden.
Really?
The story was awesome. That's how Telltale need to do a damn story. It's mainly a lot of QTEs. It's just a Telltale game, their story mode, and it's just mind-blowing. Like, the voice acting, just the way they put everything together, I mean, it's just... it's the best I've played when it comes to those adventure-type games. That's it.
I didn't know awesome. You fucked with American football like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like it. I like it. You know, me and the Patriots. So, I like it.
Yo, Adam, Dana says you're still playing WWE 2K18 on Switch.
It does. No. That shit's still broken. That pack should not fix a damn thing. Still broken. Now there's a whole petition for people trying to get their refunds from Nintendo. Because, you know, they don't want to give any kind of refunds for the digital ones. Stores have been doing it, but... Not a Nintendo, but they don't give refunds for anything, so whatever. But yeah, that thing is broken. I wish I could play it.
We now give you the refund.
And that's it. That's what I've been playing. Those two games.
Yeah. By the way, this is a bit of a non sequitur, but since we have been playing Monster Hunter with this guy, I want to give a shout out to my cousin Chris, aka the voice of God.
Hey
guys, you want to play Monster Hunter? Now here's what's crazy about Chris, right? Because he is, I call him the best of both worlds, right? Because he plays Monster Hunter, loves Yakuza, plays Persona, but he also buys Call of Duty and Madden and NBA. He like this guy. He's like, when it comes to the fall, he's all fucked up, you know, because he buys all the like sports games and all the big RPGs and AAA games. Like, that's a true gamer, you know. Like, he plays the bro games and the niche shit.
Man, but I stopped with the sports games. Like, I only buy them, like, once every other year now instead of every year.
Yeah, that's a smart... You know me. I don't care about sports. Like, you bring NBA Jam back. That's the shit I want, man. Mutant League Football.
He's
that's
on fire!
Yeah.
They brought it back, like, what, 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah, they did. But, I'm going to be real right now. I'm going to date myself. I'm like, what's up with this new roster? Bring back the old shit, man. I want Scottie Pippen, son.
You want Scottie Pippen.
You know? Carl Malone and shit.
Carl Malone.
You know, all right, so we're going to do something a little special now. So I'm going to kind of stop talking, right? And then I'm going to start it. Okay, so we did this like last week, but it kind of fucked up. I wasn't supposed to show you guys this, but now I can. So I'm going to show you / review the Super NT, and obviously I want you guys in the chat room, particularly you, Chris, since you're a retro guy. I want you to ask me questions about it. So this is from Analog, right? And this shit right here plays Super Nintendo games, son. Like, this is legit. It uses this thing called the Field Programmable Gate Array, right? Which is basically, it's a chip that you could program to behave like another chip. So this isn't, it's not a clone console like a Retron 5. This is mimicking the actual things, like one to one perfection, right? It's fucking awesome, man. Like I've been playing, and here's the thing, because I've been playing emulator so much, I didn't realize how like vibrant, like color wise, like games are when you actually play them off like the real deal and shit. Obviously, this has HDMI and all that, you know. Great, like yo, this is, and it's $189, man. This is this shit. This thing right here, like I'm gonna start buying Super Nintendo games now, man. Go ahead, man.
It's cheaper, actually cheaper than the other thing that that those guys made, which is very interesting.
Yeah, here's the thing about Analog, right? So the company was started by Christopher Tabor, right? Who's a guy who actually emailed me directly and wanted to know if I wanted to read. They first started out with they recreated the Neo Geo, right? That shit was expensive as fuck, you know? So they were like, okay. And then they did a Nintendo one, which is also kind of expensive. Like, we want to make a system that's cheaper, but it's more popular. The Super Nintendo is still one of the most popular systems out there. Remember, the fucking Super Nintendo Mini, 4 million, you know?
Yeah. That thing is so amazing. Like, the way that chip works, and he, the guy who designed the thing, it pretty much just play, you know, just as Tony says, it plays them almost exactly like the way that you should, with a zero lag. Even the controllers, which are wireless, have very little lag.
Yeah, but check this out. If you want, you can stick the old controllers in here. Yeah. You know? Yeah, there's no lag. I use the 8-Bit Duke, which is a separate company and stuff. But Chris, do you have any questions about it? Because then you're the retro guy. What questions do you have about this product, if you have any? Like, what is the shit that like retro gamers would want to know about this?
You pretty much answered it. If it can play 100% of the library, right?
Yes.
Oh, I know. If you got ROMs, let's say they fell off a truck.
Yes.
Put them on a SD card. Can it play those?
It's amazing, but they actually do work as well.
SD card, or SD slot right there. Because here's the thing. This thing has games in it. It has two games. I'll talk about those in a bit. But yes, it can do that. And,
They have proven that also, this is not from through them, but it has also said that it also works with those cartridges that uses flash on them.
Oh, so you can use like the EverDrive.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was told about that. I was like, bro, you could get the EverDrive for this shit.
You can get the EverDrive for that.
Okay, that's pretty amazing. That's what I want to know, because like I have a mixed library. Chris and I, she has a ton of Super Nintendo games. I have a few. Yo, ask these guys when they're going to make a Genesis, man, because At Games is garbage.
Yeah, and the funny thing is Christopher, right, the guy who made this thing, he says he was a Sega fanboy, you know, but I'm like, yo, make a Genesis one, man.
Give us a Genesis, man. I still have the stupid At Games thing. It is awful. Any cartridge I put in there, it runs like at half speed. It gets really choppy. I can't play Sonic on there. I tried to play Jurassic Park on there. That shit runs horrible. The sound gets all messed up. And I have the original cartridges.
Yeah. By the way, a couple of things from the comments. Willie, this is not an emulator. This is running real cartridges, bro.
Yeah, it's not running any emulation software. It's all hardware that's doing it. And the thing that makes it cheaper to make is the chip that they are using inside of that. I can't remember the name of it.
The FG chip
has significantly, you know, cut the price of it, because it's essentially, you can program it to act like anything else.
Yeah.
And from what I hear, that chip can go from what the creator of it, you know, the designer of it said, that it could also theoretically copy a PlayStation and do one-to-one PlayStation games as well.
In theory, that's right. If you could make it behave like, hold on, my mind just got blown. Could you maybe in the future program that shit to run like the Celt processor?
I don't know. That's a little bit more. It's a little bit more complicated than
you need. Wait, hold on. You need to. If the FPGA has multiple cores, then the answer is yes. But if it's the Super Nintendo, all the old systems are all single threaded, like programmed games. So you only needed one chip. So going up to PS.
He said PS1 would be the maximum. Stuff like N64 would probably, it couldn't do.
Well, because that was based on Silicon Graphics hardware, so maybe you can't do that.
So yeah, but yeah, it's a really good product. I saw a couple of different people talking about it, and they're like, yeah, they've did a bunch of benchmarks on it. You know, shout out to the guys, My Life in Gaming, did a really thorough benchmarking of the whole thing.
Nice.
And as well, interviewed the creator of the designer of it.
I want to show you guys this, because again, this isn't, again, not an emulator, right? Let me see if I can do this without fucking things up. Hold on, I got to move my mic.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, hold on. So here's right? That's it.
There you go.
Now, by and the
it
way,
runs both. It runs both Japanese and American games.
Yes, and PAL games. By the way, I need to throw this, because we were talking about Shadow Colossus earlier, right? This right here, Super Mario All-Stars, the first awesome remake, you know? by the way, getting a couple comments here. So they want to know, where do you get it? Go to Analog's website. I'm going to link to it down below. Don't worry about it. And it only costs $189, man. You can't go wrong with this. The only complaint I have about this, I said this in my review, and this is the same problem that the Retron 5 has. It is hard to get these cartridges out, man. Like, I don't know what it is. Yeah, the
pin connectors are so tight. Like, they can't fab it the same way that they used to. Yeah, the Retron, when I put a game in, like, I'm, like, forcing it out to get it back out.
Yeah, and it gets you nervous. That's why I picked this cartridge, because I could stick my fingers in there. I did notice that the more I do it, the easier it becomes. But sometimes it's like, know? And also, you know, because this is still replicating the old hardware, sometimes if you stick the cartridge in, may not work the first time, so you got to take it out, put it back in, you know, just like you had to back in the day, you know?
The pins may not be working correctly. Yeah.
What up, Brett?
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
So why is it that this is only $189, whereas a Switch is a full $299? Meaning that why is this price pill so much easier to swallow, even though it's only $100 less than what would be considered a current-gen system that would also be able to play most of these games once the virtual console comes up?
Because you're assuming.
No, because we always talk about the virtual console. And the question always comes up, why would you spend $300 on something that just plays retro games? But here we are fully embracing and advocating something that costs a full $200 just to play retro games. And it doesn't come with those.
I have
games.
Your answer. Can you stick this inside a Switch? You can't. You can't stick this inside a Switch. You can't stick a cartridge inside a Switch.
So it all comes down to the fact that, like, wait, does it come down to the fact that you have a library of old Super Nintendo games that you're not going to have to pay again? Or does it come back to the fact that you like being able to physically put a cartridge or own a cartridge?
You got to remember, and this is, I'm actually going to quote the developer of this, Christopher. He says that there are people out there, like the really hardcore enthusiasts. An emulator, which is what would be on Switch, is not good enough. This shit gets you one-to-one actual accuracy. So this is, again, this is not for the, like, a regular
consumer.
I'm not disagreeing
that it's a superior product. What I'm asking is, why when we talk about the virtual console, do we say that $300 is too much to spend for something that plays retro games? But we're looking at something here that costs $200 to play retro.
It's apples and oranges, man. Two totally different things, man. Two completely different things. The Switch is glorified emulator at best. This is the actual real deal. You're comparing two different things, man. Go ahead, Chris.
And it's not going to be the entire library that which you can get.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
And the Switch is not just a retro system. Like, the Switch is a modern system, and allegedly they'll add in the virtual console. They don't have it yet. And if my theory is right, they won't put it in until they're done milking the classic systems. I mean, even Nintendo's building
it. I believe that.
You know,
I believe that. For instance, let's take let's assume that we're having this conversation a year from now, and let's assume that they release the virtual console, and now you're looking at the thing Tony's holding in his hand and the Switch, and the thing Tony's holding is $200 and the Switch is $300. Is it really then too much? Is it really out of the realm of possibility that people would say, I'll spend the extra $100 to get the thing that plays current games? And
yeah, but you'd have to spend the extra $100 plus whatever Nintendo decides each game is worth, right?
Well, same with Tony's, the thing Tony's holding, though.
No, Tony's holding Super Mario All-Stars in his hand. He doesn't have to buy it again.
Right,
he
there.
He can play that right now.
Yeah.
He can play his whole Super Nintendo library right now. I can
what
play...
if he doesn't have one?
What if he doesn't have what?
And he has one.
He can go and buy
but
the
if he doesn't have home, he can go buy the games, but
like me, he could get an SD card that fell off the back of a truck with 500 games on it, you know?
Yeah, because you can play those on this, you know.
There's the difference. Okay.
Yeah, but again, I'm not really understanding the comparison. They're two completely different things, you know?
To you, they are. To a lot of people, they won't be. To a lot of people, they'll just look at them and be like, so I can play Super Mario 3 on this? And they say, you can play Super Mario 3 on both of them. And they say, okay, well, can I play Splatoon on both of them? And they go, no, only one plays Splatoon. And they say, okay.
But so why would you buy this to play Splatoon? That doesn't make any sense.
Also, Brett, like your argument doesn't hold up because you can easily make the same argument about the SNES and NES Classic.
Well, no, because those only come with 25 preloaded games on it. Most of the retro gamers that I know that are kind of waiting for the Virtual Console, they haven't jumped on these Classic editions because they're like, I only get 25 games. I want access to a full library, so they may be interested in this product that Tony's holding.
But Nintendo hasn't promised. First of all, they haven't promised a concrete date on the Virtual Console. That's one, and they haven't promised that they'll announce or they'll release all the games. Like,
well, that doesn't matter because they haven't bought the Switch yet. These are the people that are waiting on the sidelines, and you know, they're considering buying a Switch, but they haven't bought one yet because they're waiting to. You know, they're like, yeah, I mean, it's great that it plays. You know, the current Mario Kart, but I'm really waiting for something that I could play, you know, all my Super Nintendo games on. And by all my Super Nintendo games, it's not ones that they actually own anymore. It's just ones that they connect with. So, like, they want to be able to go back and buy this game and this game and this game. So, you know, they're looking to – they'll be like, man, I might actually have to track down a game store that sells Super Nintendo games and get me some old copies of some Super Nintendo games if they picked up – what is the thing you're holding called, Tony?
It's called the Super NT, which is available now at Analog. Guys, I will link it to you in the chat room. Don't worry. I guess I did a good job of selling this shit because people want it now.
It's cool, man. Yeah, especially if you can, use back, fell off a truck. My personally, if you can use fell off a truck ROMs, that's the selling point for me.
Yeah, and I'm guessing in theory those ROMs won't have any of the latency, right? Because there's always latency in ROMs,
There'll still be ROMs.
I think they checked the benchmark on those things too, and they said they think they ran pretty close to what they were. So, because this thing doesn't have any sort of post processing or anything like that, as it's rendering as soon as it's throwing it on the screen as soon as it's rendering it. It's just live. That's why there's no latency on it, as opposed to like with an emulator, there is a little bit of somewhat of a processing thing. And it even beats the official Nintendo product that they put out.
Because again, remember the Classic is still an emulator, so it still performs and behaves like an emulator, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, again, this product, this is not for the Switch drive. This is for the hardcore enthusiast, probably the guy who has a ton of fucking Super Nintendo games lying around, you know.
And just to temper everybody's expectation, remember, Nintendo's on the Virtual Console like twice before on home systems. Even the Wii, as popular as it was, as many as it sold, did not have nearly a complete library of any classic system, right? There was plenty of games missing, plenty of hard, like, even though they had got a lot of the Super Nintendo library, there was no Contra Hardcore, I don't think, what ever made it on there from Genesis. They didn't put Bloodlines. There's classic games from all the systems that never made it to that Virtual Console. And that the Wii is still like one of the best selling home systems they ever made. Like it stopped at 101 million.
Yeah.
So remember, so they are very picky about licensing and they won't spend a lot of money to get certain licenses. So don't think that Virtual Console would be complete by any means.
Yeah. Great point. Cause some people are thinking that's exactly going to be it. It's going to, every game's going to be on there, bro. No,
that's never been historically true. Look at the Wii U, look at the Wii. They never had every game.
Yeah, so, that's our little review of the Super Nintendo. Again, if you're a hardcore enthusiast, if you have a ton of Super Nintendo games lying around, check this shit out, man. Definitely worth the money. And this really does set a new standard for, clone consoles, you know? It's like, I kind of don't even want to go back to those emulated games now that I have this shit. You know, obviously I need to rebuy because I sold all my cartridges years ago because I wanted to buy a 32X, you know. So, that's going to pretty much do it for the show. I feel like there's some shit I should say afterwards, but I don't know. Oh, well, Manny, do we have anything coming up?
I mean, other than this Friday, we're going to be doing another session of Throwdown Plays with everybody playing some Monster Hunter. So
yes, Friday, Saturday, we're going to do Monster Hunter. And you just reminded me, because we were talking about it, Kingdom Come Deliverance, I'm going to be live streaming that along with Manny probably on Monday.
We'll probably do that on Monday, yes.
Yes, the game comes out Tuesday, and I checked the embargo. We could live stream on Monday, so that'll be cool, you know? So look out for that. I don't know the time on it, but just, you know, be on the lookout for that, you know? Checking out by the way, again, shout out to Twitch. There was actually a lot of people in there today, which is actually good, you know? Okay, so thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe and throw down on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch. Stop playing Monster Hunter, Brett.
Hey, everybody.
And Adam Vale.
Later, peoples. See you tomorrow.
All right, man. We'll see you tomorrow night, man. Later.
Later. Later, people.